Let's pray as we start. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time of the year, especially this coming week, when we can remember you giving your son to come to this earth in the form of a man in order to die for us, so we might, through faith in that sacrifice that was given, have eternal life. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless us as we read your word today and we'll take these things to heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. I won't speak about all these verses, otherwise we'd be here until 2 o'clock this afternoon. But I'll just read some of that so that you can get the context. And when we look at verses 5 through 8, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And verse 5, your attitude should be the same of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Remembering to be like Jesus during Christmas time is what we're going to talk about today. Remembering to be like Jesus. Now, for Christmas is a time when we think back, isn't it? We think back to our past. Our oldest son and his wife and their four kids were with us yesterday, and we thought back about what we used to do at Christmas time in the Czech Republic. You know, it was a big deal there. And, you know, in the Czech Republic, they eat carp at Christmas time. You put it in the bathtub before, like 2 or 3 days before Christmas, and then you kill it on Christmas Eve and eat it, and you eat a lot of potato salad with it too, and all kinds of fun stuff goes on around Christmas time. And our oldest son remembered that because he ate a lot of that potato salad that Cindy made yesterday. But he said, "Dad, you can keep the carp." I don't really like the carp, but maybe next year, if I could find where I can buy a live carp, maybe we'll arrange that too for our kids, our grandkids, to eat so they experience this once. So they can have some of the same memories that their mom and dad, or their mom and their uncles have, or their dad and their uncles have about Christmas. What's true, isn't it? Christmas time is the time when we remember all the things that have happened in the past, during not only the past year, but also the years before that. It's also a time to ponder the meaning of what the great company of angels said to the shepherds. And angels also spoke to the shepherds. I don't think I mentioned that out front here. But the angels also spoke to shepherds. Average people, everyday people, hardworking people. And they talked to them about peace to men on whom God's favor rests. This little baby that was wrapped in cloths is our King. He's our Savior. He's the example that's supposed to lead us in everything that we do. And we should be and will be like Him. In reading the book of, or this passage in Philippians, I found four things to remember about being like Jesus. Being like Jesus. First of all, we should remember to have the same attitude as Jesus had. We see that in verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. The same as Christ Jesus. We should be always mindful of the things that the Apostle Paul has spoken about already in verses 1 through 4. To reflect upon those things in humility, considering others better than ourselves. Having the same thoughts that Jesus had about himself. You know, outlook determines outcome many times, doesn't it? If our outlook is selfish, our actions will be self-centered and destructive. Now, Jesus' attitude is summed up for us in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, where he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The same people that Isaiah spoke about when he spoke about the many people. That's what Jesus came to do. When we think about it, none of us is naturally made humble, are we? I mean, that's kind of not a normal thing we would say about, yeah, I'm pretty humble. We wouldn't normally say that. You know, most of us don't want to be offended. Most of us don't want to be ignored. And nobody wants to be second. Remember when you were on the basketball court in junior high and they were picking teams? Did you want to be the last guy chosen? No, you didn't want to be. And nobody is like that. Everybody cares who gets the credit. Somebody wrote that the only hope of a decreasing self is an increasing Christ in us. Only Jesus can make that difference in us. Get rid of the pride and make us stand humble before him as we consider who Jesus is. That's a part of his work in us, and it's a lifelong process of dealing with us and our pride, making us humble before him. So first thing to remember is to have the same attitude that Jesus had. You found that in verse 5. The second thing is remember what he had. Verse 6, remember what Jesus had. It says in verse 6, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Remember what he had, equality with God. Don't forget what Jesus voluntarily gave up for us. He didn't hang on to this. What we have to give up doesn't compare with what Jesus gave up. He went from heaven and being surrounded by legions and legions of angels in the glory of God to ending up in Bethlehem in a feeding trough, wrapped up in rags and cloths in order to become our Savior. He went through a change in his dwelling place, didn't he? That would have been a shock. He was the living bread who came down from heaven. In John chapter 6, verse 31, it says that. 51 says that. He went through a change of possessions as well. He went from riches to poverty. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He went from glory to obscurity. Get this. He created the whole world. But when he was here on earth, the world did not recognize him. One of the saddest verses, I think, in the Bible. He created everything. Everything we see, everything we don't see. And yet his creation did not recognize him. They did not acknowledge him. They did not grasp that this was their creator. He went from visible equality with God to servanthood, to being a slave, to going to the cross. He went from the likeness of God to the likeness of men. And today he reigns in a human form. It's a permanent change. But all his riches and glory and power has been restored to him. Now, Jesus gave up everything, even himself. You ever think about this? He was so poor that he was constantly borrowing things. He borrowed a place for his birth. He borrowed a house to sleep in. He borrowed a boat to preach from. Remember that? It wasn't his boat. It was Peter's boat. He borrowed an animal to ride on. Remember that? He borrowed a room to have the Lord's Supper in. And he borrowed for a while a tomb to be buried in. And he also took on a heavy debt. The debt of our sin was laid upon him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that he became sin for us. Remember what he had and what he voluntarily gave up for us. He laid it aside, his glory, his honor, in order to come here to Bethlehem in the form of a man, to be God in the flesh, God in body, for you and for me. Remember to have the same attitude that he had. Remember what he had. He gave up voluntarily. Remember how he came, according to verse 7. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Remember what he experienced for us. Get this, he always existed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He's always existed. He will always exist. But he emptied himself. He made himself nothing voluntarily, nothing for us. He set aside a lot of the privileges of deity and made himself nothing for us. Taking the nature of a slave, made in human likeness, he became flesh. He became skin for you and for me. And he lived a selfless, obedient life while he was here on earth. We talked a little bit about this on men's meeting on Thursday night, what patience Jesus had when all these guys, you know, all these Pharisees came, and they thought they had the perfect question for Jesus. They always did. And, you know, it's kind of like, guys, you know, this is like amateur hour, you know? You know, There's nothing. I know the question before you even ask it. I know the answer to the question before you even ask the question. And I've known it since eternity past. And now you're going to come to me and ask this? And yet he patiently answered them, directed them to the scriptures, and showed them who he is by his ability to know all these things. Remember how he came. During the Civil War here in the United States, there was a general named George McClellan. And he was, at the beginning of the war, commander-in-chief of the Army of the Potomac. That was the largest army, you know, that fought between Washington, D.C. and Richmond, mainly. And he was kind of a proud guy. He thought that he was a young Napoleon. You know, Napoleon's a pretty good general, wasn't he? Well, however, he wasn't a good general. And President Lincoln couldn't get him to do anything. He could get him to march his troops around and train them, you know, and do all the pomp and all that kind of stuff. But fight, he couldn't get this guy to fight anybody. So once Lincoln went with his staff to visit McClellan at his staff headquarters to see if he could get this guy, you know, prod this guy a little bit to go and fight against General Lee. But once he got there, he only found out that General George McClellan was away at a wedding. And so they sat down, our president sat down to wait with his staff. And they waited a couple hours before George McClellan showed up. And when he showed up, he went upstairs, said hi to him, said, "Hey, I'm going upstairs." And he didn't come back. So they waited patiently, and after 45 minutes to an hour, they said, sent a message to him saying, "You know, the president is here and he'd like to speak with you." Well, the messenger came back and said, "Well, the general has retired for the evening. He went to bed. He's not coming back downstairs." Well, all these guys that were with Lincoln were angry. They said, "Man, no general should treat us this way." But our president, President Lincoln, said, "This is no time to be offended." He says, I quote, "I would hold McClellan's horse if it would bring us success." Now, this attitude of humility made Lincoln a great man and a great president, the perfect person that we needed for leading our nation during the time of the Civil War. He wasn't thinking of himself, but of others. He was thinking of the nation. Remember how Jesus came, emptying himself, kenosis theory, all that is explained here. Remember how he came, verse 7. And finally, remember what he did. Remember what he did, verse 8. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." We can forget a lot of things in this life, and we will. Agree with me. You too will forget some things. I forget things. It seems like more and more things I forget. But don't forget this. Don't forget what Jesus did. He was born in a manger, but he didn't stay in a manger. He humbled himself and died on the cross for you and for me. And what we have to do doesn't compare to what he did for us. He looked like a man, but he was wholly God and wholly man. He was more humble than we are. He was more human than we are. And that's why we call him the Son of Man. He has all the characteristics of man, of Adam, like Adam was supposed to have. Adam was supposed to be. Jesus did. Jesus obeyed. Adam disobeyed, but Jesus obeyed. He became man in order to die for sinners. That's what he did, to save us from our sin. He became man in order to share with us eternal life. John 6:51 again. He became man that he might serve as our great high priest. Hebrews 2:17-18. Remember what he did. You don't remember this, but you know, when we were born, we came to live. I remember seeing that happen to all three of my boys. You know, the second they were born, it was obvious they wanted to stick around for a while. You know, they were crying and they were saying, "Hey, where's the food? You know, it's bright out here, it's cold out here. I don't like the circumstances that I'm being born into, but I'm here to live." And they were all different. They were all unique. But they were born to live. But Jesus was born in a manger to die. And he didn't have to die. But he came obedient unto death and gave himself up willingly. Get this, he wanted to. He wanted to go to the cross and die for us. Why? Because he knew that we needed a Savior. He knew that the sacrifice had to be paid in order to pay for the wrath of God that was against us because of our sin. He knew from the beginning this is why he's come, what he was to do to save you and me. As we think about this passage and about Christmas, just a couple questions to close. Does God's favor rest upon you? Now, the angels were not talking about the whole world in that passage in Luke chapter 2. God's favor is not for the whole world. God's favor is on those who believe, who receive him, who trust in him. That's when they'll receive God's favor, God's grace. Secondly, do you have the same attitude that Christ had? Thinking of others rather than yourselves. And that's only possible if Jesus is right here. Jesus is right here. And there's a connection between the two. And it's a lifelong process that Jesus works through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to get rid of that pride stuff and make us humble before him. And finally, do you have peace with God that comes through knowing him personally as Savior? You know, there's this war going on out there. People are sinners. They're sinners because of what Adam did in Genesis chapter 3. Every person who was born after that became by nature a sinner. When we were born, we automatically received that sin nature. It separates us from God. That would be enough to send everybody, you know, to hell. But not only that has happened, we've also, each one of us, sinned at least once. I know at least once each one of us has sinned. And that's also by choice. We've decided to do something that is disobedient to God. And the only remedy for that sin is what Jesus did. He came in a manger, in the form of a man, in order to go to the cross to die for you and for me. All planned out. He knew it from the beginning. This is why I've come, and this is what I want to do for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for Jesus and his obedience to you in going to the cross, in paying the penalty for our sins. Lord, help us not to forget that. but to remember it always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.